Welcome to GovInnovator. I'm Andy Feldman. Janice Dubno is with us today. She's a nationally recognized expert in pay-for-success approaches, also known as social impact bonds. Our topic today is applying pay-for-success to the area of early childhood programs. Here's a clip.
One of the reasons why it works well for early childhood is because the ROI, the return on investment, in investing in young at-risk kids while their brains are still developing before the age of five, is very high. That if we can intervene early, and this is why prevention is very important, if we can intervene early, we save lots of money by improved outcomes over the life of a child.
Pay-for-success is an innovative funding approach in which private investors finance the cost of operating a promising social program with the potential to save the government money or achieve some other valued goal. Government then repays the initial investment, plus a return, if specific outcomes are achieved. Today, there are over 30 pay-for-success projects being explored, planned, or implemented around the United States. Our focus today is applying this approach to the area of early childhood programs. Salt Lake County, Utah, and Chicago are already using this approach to fund early education. To learn more, we're joined by Janice Dubno from Voices for Utah Children. A former investment banker, she was closely involved in designing Salt Lake County's social impact bond and has authored several reports on applying social impact bonds to early childhood programs. She joins us by phone from Salt Lake City. Janice, welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Start us off with the big picture. Why should policymakers at the local, state, or federal levels think about applying pay-for-success approaches to early childhood development initiatives?
Well, research shows that investments in high-quality early education can improve outcomes for low-income children, including reductions in special education costs, other remedial education costs, as well as reductions in juvenile and adult crime. It also can result in increases in employment and earnings for low-income populations. Those impacts result in fiscal savings and cost avoidance to governments. However, only high-quality programs receive these kinds of outcomes. And it's important to incentivize practices and programs that do improve outcomes as opposed to just financing activities. So using an outcomes-based financing methodology ensures that programs that are improving outcomes can continue to be funded and can have expanded funding.
So that's an argument for outcome-based funding. Help us understand then how that works in practice with a pay-for-success approach.
Well, pay for success entails private funders putting up the money for the intervention for, in this case, high-quality preschool. Performance metrics are set, for instance, reduction in special education assignment, increases in school readiness, improvements in third-grade reading and math proficiency. And if those metrics are met, then government can pay the investor back based on either the cost avoidance associated, for instance, with reductions in special education assignment, or payments for outcomes that government values, such as kindergarten readiness and third-grade reading proficiency.
I think it's worth pausing on that point just for a minute, which is that both savings and cost avoidance can be used to structure these financial deals. Tell us a bit more about that.
It can be either cashable savings or cost avoidance. So, for instance, cost avoidance is a situation where if a child, an at-risk child who does not grow up in an enriched environment, is behind when they enter kindergarten, there's a high likelihood that they will need remedial services in K through 12. Now, if that child were to receive early, high-quality early education, is kindergarten ready, and stays on grade level, the government avoided a cost that it would have otherwise had to pay. And that is implicitly a benefit to government because they can then use that money in other areas. So you don't have to actually have a cashable savings where you see a reduction in budget. Government benefits when there's cost avoidance. You can also, for instance, use the research that we have to see that low-income children who receive high-quality preschool are less likely to end up in the criminal justice system. And that's a very big savings to, for instance, counties and states. And one example of that is Salt Lake County participated in the first social impact loan for high-quality preschool here in Salt Lake County, and we were able to use the research to project out what the future cost avoidance in criminal justice and health affordable housing would be by having children on grade level, staying out of special education, and achieving academic success, and being productive members of society.
And tell us next about some of the lessons that you've drawn up in terms of what it takes to apply Pay for Success to the area of early childhood programs.
The first lesson, of course, is that you need a high-quality program. And we know what works in high-quality preschool: an evidence-based curriculum, a robust and ongoing professional development system, ongoing coaching, the use of data to improve and inform instruction, and a cycle of continuous improvement of program quality. Parent engagement is very important. So it's very important that we pick the programs that incorporate these elements, and of course, by having an outcomes-based financing model, it incentivizes programs to include these, because this is what we know works.
Another lesson that I know that you've emphasized is the importance of data systems. Tell us about that.
Well, data systems are really important for a number of reasons. You need a data system within the preschool program to see whether or not you're having impact. And you need to be able to use both child data, teacher data, and program data in a cycle of continuous improvement so that you're continually improving outcomes. That's very important. You also need a data system that looks at school readiness and connects to the K-12 longitudinal data system to be able to track longitudinal outcomes so that you can compare children who had high-quality preschool to low-income children that didn't have high-quality preschool and compare the outcomes both in terms of special education assignment, academic achievement, and other remedial services such as English language learner services, reading remediation.
So Janice, building on the lessons that you just mentioned, let's say a city or county has a evidence-based intervention in hand. They have the data systems in place, which I know is no easy task. And let's also say that you have an evaluation structure on the back end to track results. Tell us more then about getting the financial deal done.
Well, there are a couple of steps that you need to take in order to get to a financial transaction in the pay-for-success methodology. The first thing is to demonstrate positive cost-benefit. The positive fiscal impact to government should be greater than the cost of the intervention. Having demonstrated that, it's then possible to take a look at whether or not a financial transaction would be feasible. And once you've been able to do that, then you can structure a social impact loan, which you can then use to show to investors that an investment in this intervention would be economically viable.
I want to close by asking you about how the early childhood area may be unique from a pay-for-success point of view. The steps to a deal that you just mentioned, for example, could be applied to a broad range of policy areas, not just early childhood. But your argument is that the early childhood field is a particularly useful focus for pay-for-success.
It could. It could potentially be in any subject. The most important things are the ratio of the intervention cost to the remediation cost, the ratio of impact of intervention versus non-intervention. One of the reasons why it works well for early childhood is because the ROI, the return on investment, in investing in young at-risk kids while their brains are still developing before the age of 5 is very high. That if we can intervene early, and this is why prevention is very important, if we can intervene early, we save lots of money by improved outcomes over the life of a child. Starting in kindergarten through the education system into the criminal justice system and beyond in terms of employment and outcomes. The same is also true in criminal justice. If you can intervene early with prevention, with individuals, particularly young individuals, who are highly at risk to recidivate, and you can avoid recidivism, you can save a lot of money. So it's high-impact preventative programs are very good candidates for pay for success.
We'll end this portion of the interview here, but the conversation will continue. I'm going to ask Janice about the main arguments about why public leaders might want to consider a pay for success approach rather than a more traditional funding approach. And I'll post her answer to the blog. But for now, Janice Dubno from Voices for Utah Children. Janice, thank you for sharing your insights with us about pay for success.
Thank you very much, Andy. Happy to participate.